Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today will be part two of our interview with Deb Thompson about the book that she wrote with Cheryl Lyon titled The Silver Lake and Mill, 200 Years of Stories. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Yes, having worked with the magazine and having all those years of telling stories, I was ready to do this. And like I said, to me, it was God's hand in my decision to retire when I did. I was 65, so it wasn't like I was retiring early or anything right. like that. But you always wonder if your timing is right. Yeah. You know, should I go another year? What should I do? And there wasn't a question of financial issues because I was old enough to get Medicare or Social Security. I had, thankfully, the hospital has a really good, or did, a really good retirement plan. So money wasn't the issue. It was, am I ready? Mm-hmm. And of course, with prayer and talking to my husband and so forth, I was able to make that an informed decision, even though it's a little bit like walking off a cliff because you don't know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. But two things happened. One is that within a short period of time after I retired, Alan approached me with Cheryl's need. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happened was my friend Alan was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. And they have no children and really no nearby relatives to help out with them. So I realized that I had an opportunity to serve and help my friends and also to help with this project. Mm-hmm. And so if I ever wondered why I retired when I did, then there's my answer. Mm-hmm. There was a need for me to serve in another way, and it's been a privilege. In both ways. It was such a privilege to work on this book. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, as I said, she is a creative genius. And I think it just oozes out of her. She was working on this project and another book. Mm-hmm. And right now working on refurbishing the mill and repurposing it for other uses. Mm-hmm. So getting this book put together, I'm sure her research started way before, which she knew so much about the mill already. Mm-hmm. From being an owner and having researched it. But from the time that the real work started, this book got put together in about a year. Wow. And it's just incredible that all that could come together. And lots of good people. I mean, I was glad to be a part of it. But there were other writers, mm-hmm. other contributors. Alan did so much of the photography. Yeah. And it's rich with photographs. So if you're a person that likes a picture book, to me, that's the story. You really want to see the pictures. And I know you see people in here you know, and you're probably
absolutely.
Related to.
Yes,
and,
I do.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so it is a rich history, and it was a real privilege. And the work that I had done before helped me be prepared to take on some work. And all of us were volunteers. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't as if we were getting paid. So this is a labor of love.
Well, one of the things that stuck out to me when you were talking about, you know, you didn't want to be a reporter. You wanted to tell people's stories. Well, we don't write on this program, but we like to tell people's stories or have them tell their stories. So that was really neat that you said that.
Yeah, I think, too, that it just to see how God has just used your life to bring really good news to the valley. Yeah. You know, that I hope you can see that, like, and how he prepared you for this. Like, it's just the next step. And so I've always tried to pull a thread in the tapestry to see how God prepares us for the next thing, because he's not random.
No, and I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes it's hard to understand God's work in your life.
Right.
Sometimes you don't see it. You're like, why am I doing this? And it's easy to get caught up in, oh, I did this, you know.
Right.
Like, nothing I've ever done has been just me doing it. You know, it's other people working with me and beside me through God's grace. And God like you say, God's working through you, even when you don't know.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I'm so appreciate you saying that, because I think it's really hard sometimes to see that God is working through you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, I don't know how you would use this information, but I know one question you had asked me was about what would you say to somebody that wants to get involved mm-hmm. in a project?
That was my next question for you.
That maybe they don't know.
She read your mind.
I used to be a reporter. So.
That's right.
Which, by the way, you guys are wonderful. What I say to somebody that's thinking about taking on a big project but not sure they want to get involved. Mm-hmm. And I'd say a couple of things. I'd say, you know, you're the best judge of how much time you have. And what your abilities are to take on a project. You know, do you know what the parameters of the project? Do you know how big it is? Because that's really important. If you're writing one thing or 4 or 5 pages, or if you're writing 500, you know, so it's, you have to know the scope. How big is this going to be? And do I have the time? Does this project excite me? Mm. Or am I going to get bored or disappointed? I would say this. I was invited to be a part of a pollinator committee for the mill this was a new project. Mm-hmm. And I got invited to go and be on the committee and all of that. And I went to the committee and a couple meetings, and it was wonderful. There were people around the table who knew all about pollinators, and that, you knew, they were master gardeners and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I sat in and I thought, this is really wonderful, but it's not for me.
Yeah. Right.
So I appreciate their work, but I didn't think, coming to these meetings, I didn't think I had enough to contribute. Right. And it's really hard for me, being a people pleaser, to say no. But I had to say, I appreciate it, but it's just really not for me. Mm-hmm. So just know if it's not for you. Don't hang on to something just because you think somebody else expects you to.
That's right.
I say pray about it. I prayed a lot in my life about guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but somehow God always got me back. My path's always been crooked, but God always got me back where I needed to go. So I say, if you put it in God's hands, it gives you peace, and as well as confidence that whatever happens, His hands are in it.
Yeah.
Even if you can't see it, which we don't always see. Mm-hmm. And I say, remember, if you're getting involved with a team project, that it's collaborative. As writers or creative people, often we feel very protective of our what we've created. And so it's hard if you have to pass your baby off to somebody else.
Yes.
And you have to realize that in collaboration, there's no pride of ownership and no pride of authorship, mm-hmm. that you give it for the good of the group.
Yeah.
So just remember that what you're creating is for the good of the entire project.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wanted to add a couple of other thoughts that hopefully you'll be able to incorporate some of these, but it was really interesting. I met with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about achieving things and how we often don't feel like we can achieve the thing that we want to achieve, or we're not good enough, or we talk ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
We're really good at talking ourselves out of things.
Yes.
A couple of quotes that I think are really useful. One is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if you think you can't do it, you're right. If you think you can do it, you're right. So it's all between the ears.
Yeah.
This is a quote from Henry James: until you try, you don't know what you can't do. So as opposed to, you never know what you can do until you try, which is a C.S. Lewis quote. So the opposite of that is, you don't know. A lot of people say, well, I can't do that. I just can't do that. Well,
have you tried?
How do you know? Yeah. You know, like a kid that says, well, I can't ride a bicycle, or I can't tie my shoes. Well, have you tried? Maybe not. So I think that's important to remember that, you know, how do you know you can't unless you've tried?
Yeah.
So don't let your self-talk limit you from doing maybe something that God really wants you to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think one thing that is so hard is when we think about doing something, you're right, maybe we can't, but with God's help, like, He's the one that gives us the giftings and the strength and the endurance or whatever we need. It's us taking that step of faith and believing that He's going to meet us in it.
Exactly. You're not walking by yourself.
Right.
Yes. So many stories in the Bible where people said, you know, I stutter. There's no way I can speak to all these people, or I'm not strong enough, or nobody's going to listen to me. And then with God's help, they were able to do it. Yeah. And it happened. I know it happens in our lives. And I know it's happened in my life that there's things that I thought I would never be able to do. And by his grace and his help, he's there and he helps us. He helps us get through it.
Yeah. He does. And he surprises us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Continually.
Yeah, well, with the things that you're like, no, I know.
Yeah. Moses in the Bible said he stutters. So. Yeah.
Yes, and amazing what he was able to do, right? We're still talking about Moses today.
Yeah.
So don't limit yourself, you know. And I would say that whether you're 15 or whether you're 50 or whether you're 90,
yeah,
you know, it's don't say you can't. You might say, I don't want to. But if you want to, you know, God probably has the work he wants you to do.
Right.
And he can help you do it.
Right. And I know before the broadcast, you talked about the importance of, you know, when you retire, you can still do things after you retire. And when you were talking, I was thinking about something that I had heard my dad tell. We had a volunteer pastor that worked here after many years of a successful counseling career. And he told her, you've left success and entered significance. So just talk, I know it sounds like you had a passion and a heart for that message.
Oh, yes. That really touched me because you can do something for, I was certainly passionate about my work and enjoyed it. And it was fulfilling. When I retired, I was given an opportunity to do some things about which I was equally, if not more, passionate. One was just, you know, it was a delight to work on this book. And I hope I get an opportunity to do some more work like that. I wouldn't immediately say no if an opportunity came up. Or maybe there's something I'll create on my own. I don't know. But the other opportunity to help my friends, and to me, I think that was really what touched me the most, was helping my friends go through a difficult, isn't even the right word, a horrendous time in their life when my friend was dying, going through chemotherapy treatments and all of that. And so that, just being able to be there by their side, just was, to me, profound.
And to have the time in your schedule to be able to do that. And for the local community listening today, we know Alan Litton.
Everyone,
that is a
Alan
household name. I have a picture that Alan took of my dad and I.
We
were in the sleigh, and it was, of course, it was from the back because we didn't have our picture taken, you know, facial pictures taken. That was really not accepted in a church. So I, just in the last couple of years, I was at Dad's and I was looking through one of the photo albums that they had of all the pictures they cut out of every community obituary and accident and wedding, etc. And it was so interesting. The very last page in the book was a picture of my dad and I in the horse-drawn sleigh in front of our neighbor's house. And there's the us in a sleigh, and on the fence, you know how people have these little sayings, these little signs out that have these say. On the gate into our neighbor's field was a sign that said, Jesus saves. It is like one of my favorites.
Oh my
gosh. It was just, and I was showing this to my friend, and I didn't even see the Jesus saves on the fence. And she goes, look, you know, look at the sign. And I'm like, all the years I don't remember seeing, because I'm always looking at the sleigh,
yes,
right?
Of course.
But Alan had this just tremendous gift in capturing the heart of this community.
You are correct.
The heartbeat of this community was in the photography. It's one of the things that we've kind of lost in our, there's some pictures, but our daily news has changed a little bit over the years. And that's all, you know, we all know that because we get to paper. His, like, that was something as a child, like, I just knew who he was. And then we have the Dayton Farmers Market, and there was a group of people that gathered at the Dayton Farmers Market.
We have our coffee group Saturday morning.
Your Saturday morning coffee group. And I would always see Alan Litton's coffee group.
Yes.
And you were a part of that. And so just to hear you, to see that relationship, and then to hear that you were able to walk with them in the end of his life. That's holy ground. It's hard, but what a gift.
It was hard, and certainly they had other people around them too, but on a daily basis, I really tried to be available to both of them. And Alan, it was important that he have his dignity.
Yes.
I felt it was really important for him in those final days, for him to have to be able to preserve as much dignity as possible. He was a great guy, really great guy. And like you said, his eye was just unequaled. Just the fact that when he took that picture, he got that sign. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an accident.
Right.
I mean, when Alan took a picture, he knew what he was doing. And he was preserving a piece of, like you said, history, culture, community. And it was just important that it be the best situation possible for him as he slipped away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very precious, I would say, to be able to be available to them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, if I ever wondered why I retired and, the circumstances surrounding that, why I retired at that time, it came clear pretty quickly. And I loved working on this book. That will always be an honor, and I'll cherish it. But being able to be there for my friends really means more. And that's why when you retire, when you make that transition, it could be scary. One thing I've been able to do now that I'm retired is in the morning to have a little ritual. I like to listen to, an app that I listen to something spiritual in the morning and reflect. And look at nature, look at my flowers, watch the birds, and just have time to reflect and think about, God and life and my role, what I can do. So for me, that's something that it's a good thing to do, is to take some time. Don't let your days be so full that you don't have a moment that you can listen for that still small voice that might be talking
yes.
to you.
Yeah, that's really good. I think for those that are listening today that are in that age of maybe they're thinking of retiring or maybe they've retired, your story has the DNA of it was just the next thing. It was the next thing, and God had prepared you for the next thing. And I think that's true for all of us. Sometimes I see people afraid to retire because they're afraid that if they retire, they'll just fall apart.
Yes.
Or they go, when I retire, I'm not doing anything. And then they lose purpose.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's a real fear.
God has created us with purpose.
Yes.
And until the day we die, right. as long
yes.
as there's breath, there's hope, mm-hmm. and there's purpose for us that we may not understand. But that would be, if I were to say anything to people today is, find that rhythm like you're talking about, make sure that the Lord is, we're getting our leading from Him. And then what is the next thing? But not just taking on everything right. in the world and becoming, I feel like I hear a lot of people when they retire, they say, well, now all these people have all these things for me to do that I don't have any time of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so you have to have some boundaries.
Boundaries is a very good word, and maybe you can find somebody to talk about boundaries. But yes, you have to be able to say, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the time right now, or I just don't have the capacity, or just, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You really have to be able to do that, or your time will get away from you. So do be judicious and think about what are things that you want to do and that you can do. And sometimes it's the little things, and I would say some people need more structure than others.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, it's like, okay, when I get ready to retire, I already know I'm going to do this many things mm-hmm. in my first 6 months. And, I think it's all in how you approach it. But, have something. For me, I just didn't want to fill my days up because I knew
right.
it would be too easy for me to do
yes.
it.
Right.
You've kind of earned the right to retire after you've worked
That's
all
right.
your life. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to at first feel guilty because, oh my gosh, I'm not going to work this morning. I can do whatever I want. You have to get that idea out of your mind. You worked your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If you've decided now you want to retire, it's a good time to do those volunteer mm-hmm. things that you,
right.
and touch people
mm-hmm.
and do those things that you enjoyed. Maybe you paint or draw. Maybe mm-hmm. you want to pursue photography. But like you say, purpose is good. Have a purpose mm-hmm. at work. Have God help you figure out what your purpose is.
That's right. Yeah. So starting our days with Him is a good way to right. make sure that we have, yeah. That we are grounded and centered on the right,
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hard some days to get you get your mind all wrapped around itself, and you're like, okay, I need to take a break right here and center myself and slow down and, you know, just think about God.
Right, right.
Okay, my mind is spinning right now. I don't know what to do first. What did I do? How did I get in this shape? And you have to just stop.
Yeah. It reminds me of the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So if we are not taking care of ourselves, how will we take care of our neighbor?
Right.
Oh, that's profound.
So that's, you know, that is why we do what we do. That is why we make sure that we spend time with the Lord and get direction and rest in Him.
Yeah. The interior life, making sure that our personal relationship with God is there so that, you know, He can shine through us to those around us.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yes.
Just this morning, I've been reading chronologically from the gospel accounts of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I was reading through my chronological Bible, and I've just been reading a chapter every day since then. And I'm in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 2:3. And part of that was my reading this morning, and it said, let your life be a love letter from Christ. So Paul wrote letters, right?
Yes.
To what the Lord placed on his heart, to whatever church that he was talking to, whatever group, whatever. And to think about that for us today, that we are, the Bible is still being written, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Our stories are being written, and our lives are a letter from Christ to those around us. And I'm like, that's profound. And that makes me think about, what does my life look like in every moment of every day? But that challenges me, but it's a really good challenge.
Yes.
To realize that, man, as long as we are alive, the Lord has purpose and can use us, like you said earlier, in ways that we don't even know He's using us.
Well, it's very interesting, because I think if you have a tendency to kind of get down and feel like life's beating you down and you're frustrated and so forth, I have found that if you go out and you just do one nice thing, you know, like compliment somebody on their shirt, or let somebody go in front of you in their car, let them into the traffic or whatever, that if you do one nice thing for somebody, that it kind of helps you. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I think we all get down the dumps and we get frustrated and down on ourselves. Do one nice thing for somebody, and it kind of like, okay, or, you know, pay for the person behind you in the drive-thru line, you know, pay for their coffee or whatever. So I just feel like that lifts you up. You're really doing God's work when you do something like that. And it lifts your heart.
You know, it reminds me of a story of, there was a pastor telling a story about, he had a lady coming in to meet with him because she was really dealing with some depression and just having a hard time getting out of the house. And he's like, what do you like to do? If you were to do something, what would it be? And she's like, I love to bake. And he said, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Bake something once a week and give it away. Just bake a cake or a pie and take it to someone. And it was pretty soon he lost contact with her. He didn't know what happened, and he was curious, so he reaches back out to her to find out that she had opened a bakery.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And you know, that is
just on a suggestion of bacon once a week.
It's what brings us joy. God planted that in us. He created us with purpose and to be light in this world and to bring joy to others. And when we get focused on ourselves, that's where it can be. Now, there's a real thing of depression and anxiety and things that need to be medicated. Absolutely. But for anyone that can do something for someone outside of themselves, there is joy. And that's what, as you've talked, even though you were walking the Littons through the hardest part of their life, more than likely.
Absolutely.
There was joy in the midst of that because you were able to help.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It was hard, but you had passion in you to do that work. And, you know, I recently was able to walk my dad to the end of his life.
Yes.
And God gave us the most amazing final moments. And had I not been there helping serve him, making sure that he was well taken care of, I would have missed some of the greatest, and my mom too. I had that privilege.
Yes.
And it was hard. Did I get up every day and go, yay?
No. Yeah,
because no. It was hard.
But Alan, I have to say too, I think you used this word earlier. It was sacred. I mean, it felt sacred to be a part of helping him pass, you know, into the next life.
Yeah.
It was just profound.
Yeah.
I mean, just makes you speechless to think about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you said earlier, find a way to be, if you can do something, you could probably help others. If you can do something. I had a friend who used to bake cookies, and her cookies were really the best chocolate chip cookies. Mm. But if somebody had a baby, or they had a wedding, or they had an anniversary, or they had a loss or whatever, Linda was going to make chocolate chip cookies.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know in recent years she hasn't been in good health, so I don't know how often she's able to make cookies, but I'm sure that for years to come, anybody that knows her will remember that if you had something going in your life, Linda was making you chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And just what a gift that was. Like you say, if you can bake, you can bring a lot of smiles to people's faces.
Yeah, and that's true for anybody. Everybody needs to, no matter where you're at in your life, you need to find stuff that God's given you this passion to help people, and whatever your skill is, that you can use that to be present in the present with people wherever you're at in the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. When I was little, we had a next-door neighbor, and it was a precious older couple, and her name was Margaret. And so I had this connection with her. And any time that we had something in the garden that was ripe, whether it was peas or green beans or that first thing, I always wanted to take her some of that first offering.
First fruit.
Yeah, the first fruits. because she made me feel loved and seen. She never said anything about Jesus. I know now that she was a believer, but I would go and I would love my interactions with her, and then she would always give me something. And it was usually a chocolate bar or a popsicle or something. But that is like that interaction was short. She ended up being in a car wreck and passing when I was young.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a tremendous loss. But in the years beyond, I look back and I see Jesus meeting me at that door.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, and that's as believers, we don't have to go into a 20-minute conversation. Maybe we'll get to have that at some point, but being able just to love people where they are. And like you said earlier, the smile, opening a door, we can make the world different by those small tokens.
Yeah.
And one day somebody will look back and say, wow, that there was something different about them. I wonder, that seemed a lot like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Deb, it's been great to have you. Anything you'd like to say in closing that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't said already?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I said a lot. Yeah. You know, it's just wonderful to be with you guys and to be able to share a little bit of something that, you know, if I said anything that will help anybody today, that will be a blessing. So thank you for having me.
And just one last question. How can people find the book that have not gotten the book yet?
You can go to Rocktown History in Dayton, and they have the books there.
Okay.
I don't remember how much they cost, but whatever it is, it's a good,
I think they're like $34 or $35.
It might be $40.
Somewhere around there.
But it is it's a wealth of information. And lots of great pictures.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a great book. Yeah. Everybody should have a copy.
I agree. And you can go online, too.
Probably to Rocktown.
Yeah, go online to Rocktown, and you'll be able to find it there. That's how I purchased it.
And keep an eye out for Silver Lake. It's a wonderful community. There's a lot going on at the mill. Cheryl's continuing to improve the mill and be there in the community so that, you know, the pollinator garden idea is really big right now. If you get a chance to just go out and walk around the lake. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you need a chance to reflect or something like that, it'd be a great opportunity.
It's a great place to do that.
Yeah.
Well, Deb, it's been great to have you. Thanks for joining us today on Hope Talks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Deb Thompson today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.